Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We are all about revival. We are all about bringing people back to the Word of God. There's nothing that can cause us to be revived more thoroughly and quicker than reading the Gospels. The Gospels are the forgotten books of the Bible, but they are the power of God to transform our lives. So the slogan of our Bible school and of our ministry is the power of the Gospel. So we're going to be examining again the Beatitudes as found in Matthew chapter 5. Now, I have to warn you a little bit that this program today is not for everybody. This program is only for those who have been listening to the previous programs and have been putting them into practice. This lesson will have great relevance for those who have been putting into practice the things we have been talking about the last few weeks. We're reading from Matthew 5:10 today. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason that this beatitude is the last one. It's because if you do the first seven beatitudes, you'll need this one. If you abide by the other beatitudes, you'll need this one as an encouragement to you. He put it last to strengthen us so that we wouldn't lose heart or give up. He gave us this word, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because there are certain inevitable consequences of following Jesus' words. And that is, you'll be hated by all on account of His name. It's a promise. You will be hated. You'll be criticized. You'll be ostracized. People will say things about you and think bad about you. And He addresses this now to give us strength and hope so that when we start to obey, we will be able to persevere. So there are some of you who have been really taking these lessons to heart. You've been reading through the Gospels yourself, and you've been trying to put into practice the things that you've read. And you'll notice some peculiar things have been happening to you since you began drawing close to God. And that is that people have been criticizing you and thinking ill of you and speaking bad about you, and you don't know what it's all about. It's because you're following Jesus. It's because you're trying to make a transition from being a hearer of the word to becoming a doer of the word. Now, why is it this way? Why would we receive such criticism and flack for seeking the Lord? You'd think that that would be something that would be desirable. And why would we be hated since we're drawing close to a God who is all love, who is beautiful? His thoughts are always toward us for good. Why would we be hated by all for following such a good person as God? Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says that the Pharisees were scoffing at Jesus, and He replied that what is highly esteemed by man is detestable to God. The reasoning of mankind as a whole is contrary to the reasoning of God. We're going in two different directions. The things that men think are important are ridiculous and meaningless to God because they have no eternal value whatsoever. Those we esteem on earth are the wealthy, the powerful, the singers, the musicians, the idolized ball players. We exalt all those people. But God looks to the heart of those same people and sees the corruption that's found there. It's detestable to God. And those that we greatly esteem right now who are in the forefront of our conversation and are in all of the tabloids and the newspapers and the internet, all those we greatly esteem will die forgotten by men, because the word says even the memory of the wicked will perish. So we can be highly esteemed and be a great celebrity, but if we're not seeking the Lord, even our memory will disappear. Here's something to think about. The Rolling Stones have been blaspheming the name of the Lord for 40 or 50 years, and everyone esteems them and looks to them and looks up to them. But did you know that in a very short time, if you mention the Rolling Stones, nobody's even going to know who you're talking about. This is the fate of those who have the acclaim of the world but leave off seeking God. So here we are idolizing and esteeming and praising people who God has no regard for. Their names will perish, and yet we run after them. And conversely, the things that are esteemed by God are despised by men. And what does God esteem? Well, when he sees someone who is pursuing him truly, who is becoming transparent in humility, having a desire for righteousness, in short, those who have done the first seven sentences of the Sermon on the Mount, this is exactly what is highly esteemed by God. So the most beautiful people to God are the ones who are humble and the ones who are lowly in their own eyes. That doesn't necessarily mean they're in a lowly position, but it means that they're lowly in their own eyes. It reminds me of Governor Winthrop, who was the first governor of Massachusetts, who was lowly in his own eyes and therefore beautiful to God. God loves the gentle, the merciful, the peacemakers. And these are usually the ones overlooked by the world while they are esteeming the celebrities and the violent. God sees the one lowly person that the world doesn't even know exists. The world doesn't care about them. They sit in the back of the church. The pastor doesn't even know they are there. But God does. They are esteemed by God. God takes great delight in bestowing blessings on those whom the world rejects. This is the one recorded instance of Jesus rejoicing. He rejoiced that the Father had hidden the things of the kingdom from the wise and the esteemed of the world and revealed them to the lowly. So God loves to bring these good gifts of the heart to the lowly who are not esteemed by the world. Let me say again, the world esteems what God despises. This is particularly relevant to us because as humans who are living on earth, we have a tendency to follow the trends of the world and to esteem the people that the world esteems. And in so doing, we are chasing after the things which God despises. So the whole group of filmmakers, actors, and singers that we esteem are ugly to God and despicable. They're not only ugly, they're leading his people astray. Therefore, when the world esteems you, be very afraid. Luke chapter 6 says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." This should be a warning bell to us. If we are seeking a career where we are esteemed by men, and we like to be esteemed by men, we like to be thought highly of, we like people to look up to us, well, we're caught in a snare, and it will very easily mislead us. if we are esteemed by the world, if we are honored by the world, it necessarily means that we're seeking the same things that the world approves of. As we begin to obey God, there will become an enmity between us and the world. An enmity. And this enmity, which is the natural outcome of following after the Lord, this enmity is a stumbling block to many, and most cannot get past it. You will be hated by all is something that people have a very hard time dealing with. Why? Because we want to be loved. We want to be liked. It's the main driving force of all of our lives. And it's not that we don't understand this in theory, but the people around us are right in our face, and they're speaking in words that we hear. And it's very difficult to hear people slandering us and criticizing us, speaking evil of us and thinking all kinds of weird things. It's so difficult because they're right in front of us, where God speaks quietly to our heart. Very rarely does he speak audibly. And so this makes the opinion of the world have extra weight. So we stumble over this, and many collapse because they are not willing to pay the price of pursuing righteousness. And they back off. They don't necessarily turn away from God. They don't openly turn their backs on God. They just simply leave off seeking the Lord earnestly. As soon as we leave off seeking the Lord with all of our might, the flack starts to die down. The criticism dies down as we back off. And I'm speaking from experience too. At one time, I just got tired of all the criticism and all of the difficulty of serving God. And I just kind of eased off the throttle a little bit. I just kind of backed off. It was amazing how the flack stopped. Everything was good. Everyone was friendly. But of course, I couldn't live like that. So of course, I had to start seeking the Lord again. Soon as I did, the flack started up stronger than ever. And why is it like that? Well, it's really not too complicated. That is, there really is a devil. Just as there is a real savior, there really is a devil. It's not very fashionable to believe in a real devil these days, but if you start seeking the Lord with all your heart, believe me, you're going to come into a close encounter with him. He's the ruling principality over the planet Earth. C.S. Lewis said it so well, that there was a ruler over the planet Earth, and he rebelled against God. So we live on a fallen planet where he is still ruling as prince. This prince of darkness hates God with a passion. He hates God and will do anything to jab him, stab him, hurt him in any way. He lashes out, but of course he can't touch God, so he tries to wound him by hurting his children. If you really want to hurt someone, just go after their kids. And so this is what the devil does. He goes after God's children in order to lash out at God. Now, this prince of darkness is very subtle and sly, and he does not work through confrontation unless he has to. He'd much rather herd everyone quietly and gently into hell, as it says in Psalm 45. He works like Hitler did with the Jews. He convinced them that they were going to the showers, and so nobody put up a fight. And when they got into the showers, of course, gas came out of the shower heads, and the rest is tragic history. But they went in willingly. If anyone had become alerted, it would have caused pandemonium, and many would have escaped. And so that's how it is in Satan's kingdom. He wants us to be gently guided into hell with no resistance. Now, listen to this statistic. A poll revealed that practically everyone in America believes in heaven and hell. And out of that number, when they were asked who thinks that they are going to go to heaven, only one person believed that they might go to hell out of 120 that were assured they were going to heaven. So everyone thinks that they are safe. They're under a great delusion. They have heard talk show hosts enough times that they are completely confident and assured that there is a light at the end of the tunnel for them. There are no clues that the light at the end of that tunnel could just very easily be the light of the fire of hell. That doesn't seem to cross anyone's mind. And so it has brought us all into a widespread passive state. That's all part of the devil's gentle hurting. He doesn't want anyone to be alarmed. He doesn't want any panic because someone might escape. So he seeks to keep everyone very passive and comfortable. Everyone is assured that all is well in regards to eternity. It's all over the TV. How everyone dies and goes to this glorious land. Well, in the meantime, we're not following God in the least. We're disobeying him at every turn. We don't even seek him. We don't even know him. And yet somehow we have a supreme confidence that all is well and we're fine. Now, if anyone becomes alerted and starts to go against the flow, the devil confronts them openly. There's a real confrontation with a real devil. Those who hear the Sermon on the Mount and want to follow it are real troublemakers. And so the devil, our enemy, begins to assault us using threats and intimidation, criticism, flack, confrontation. Let's think of life as a river going very smoothly along, but ending in a precipice waterfall that dumps into hell. Think of life as a gentle river. All you have to do is relax, put down your oars, enjoy the ride. That's all you have to do to have the approval of the world. But when we become alerted to the precipice, immediately we are concerned. We pick up oars and we start paddling furiously. But the minute we put down the oars, guess what happens? We begin to drift back down. There's no neutral ground at all. So it necessarily takes a lot of perseverance and work and prayer to go against the current. Anyone can drift down, but only those who are serious about escaping will do whatever is necessary to go against the flow. So we pick up our oars and we begin to paddle. And what are the oars? Seeking the Lord with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our might, seeking him all the time. Seek him out loud with prayer and praise. Praise God out loud. It shakes the force of darkness when you proclaim the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. It's like a shockwave in this dark world. The brightness of God begins to pour on us. And it's very important to make it verbal. Praise God out loud and the heavens will part. This is really paddling upstream and it's glorious, but it takes a fight. It's not for the passive. The passive will go downstream. It takes active strength to seek the Lord, but the reward is great. And after a while, we begin to develop muscles for paddling upstream and we'll eventually get to the point where we're only happy when we're paddling up. God has put an amazing satisfaction into seeking him. Ours is to fight to get close to God and to obey him. That's why we're so concerned about all of our entertainment, which anesthetizes us to the danger. It puts us to sleep to the danger. And many who have a lifestyle of comfort and passive entertainment will never see the kingdom of God, no matter how confident they might be, because they are not seeking the Lord earnestly, and they have a passive, careless state, and they are unwilling to put in the active fighting that it takes to seek the Lord with all your heart. This determination to get close to God is the key element in raising the irritation of those around you. As you seek to obey God, you will find that you are despised just for existing. It's not that you're doing anything to these people. You can be seeking God absolutely privately, and suddenly everyone around you will be mad at you, even though you're not even telling anyone that they need to join you. That's the way it is. But how could it be any other way? The world hates Jesus. They were looking for a Messiah after their own image. They were looking for a God that would exalt them. So they hated Jesus and killed him. Well, we follow him. If they hate our master, it is well and good that they should hate us as well. Now, here's one little note that it's generally not going to be the world at large that is going to come against you. The world actually admires Christians who have strong convictions. No, your enemy will work through those who are closest to you and those that you love and those that are in church with you. It will be worldly-minded Christians who will oppose you and despise you, and you'll be criticized. They'll say, what do you mean that this is wrong or that's wrong? What's wrong with my entertainment? What's wrong with my video games? Meanwhile, you haven't said anything. You're just doing your own thing, quietly trying to follow your convictions. You didn't even say there was anything wrong with their music, but you're just simply listening to edifying music yourself. You've made the switch and you've decided to feed your soul instead of being passive. And now people will be all over you. It's a spirit of conviction within them, and also the spirit of the world that hates the idea that someone is actually trying to follow Jesus. We simply have to determine that it's the price that we must pay to obtain him. And we weigh it up and determine he's worth it. Luke chapter 6 again says how we are to react to the criticism. And you know what it says? It says, leap for joy. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The scriptural response to being attacked is to leap for joy. We have suddenly become esteemed in the eyes of heaven. We are known of God. We are known in heaven. And the eyes of the great cloud of witnesses are on us. God has prepared an eternal reward for those who seek him with all their heart. Count it as a badge of honor when men speak evil of you, and be encouraged. The best thing that can possibly happen to us is not to be esteemed by the world or those who are worldly minded, but are esteemed by God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we take your word seriously. We want to become doers of the word and not just hearers. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make us worthy to be despised by the world. To be despised by the world means that we are actually following you. And so, Lord, we are willing to pay that price because we have seen you, we have looked on you, and you are the pearl of great price. Please help us to stand firm this week as we seek you and receive criticism for our efforts. Help us to know we are esteemed by God. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.